I mentioned that we're praying for Sister Aurine. She died on Thursday, November 16th, and today's Thursday. So it's really 6 weeks today, which is more than 40 days. But the 40th day landed on the day after Christmas, and we didn't have any way to catch up with it. The family had their own private observance. But I thought it was fitting for us as a community, because she's our sister, and so we'll include her in this Mass, even though members of the family can't make it. Now let's turn to Christmas. So here we are. This is the joyful Christmas octave. Very joyful. The very first announcement of Christmas was the angel appearing to the shepherds in Bethlehem saying, "Today I announce to you good news of great joy, a Savior is born to you." So that's Bethlehem. And we know that in the liturgy, there's the Vigil Mass of Christmas, then there's the Midnight Mass of Christmas, then there's the Dawn Mass of Christmas, then there's the Daytime Mass of Christmas, and it's a liturgical celebration of light starting to flood the world. The light of the world has arrived, and time to rejoice. And the 8 days of Christmas are for that. So this is the week when we're supposed to have Christmas parties. I know nobody has Christmas parties, although the men's choir is having a Christmas party tonight. And the parish is having a Christmas party tonight too, I think. I don't know if anybody's invited. The parish here is having the Christmas party. Well, then we have these three big feast days that come right after Christmas, 26, 27, 28. 26, St. Stephen, the first martyr, a celebration of victory over death itself, a victory over persecution. Yesterday, St. John, celebration of the profound Word of God. The one who, St. John is the one who gave us this language of the Word made flesh. And then today, the Feast of the Holy Innocents. Now, St. Stephen's Day is a little bit jarring because it's a martyrdom, and we have to kind of do a little pondering to get past that contradiction. But today's is much harder, because when Stephen died, he was an adult, a mature Christian, and he made a choice for God, and he made a choice to sacrifice himself. And when he died, in fact, even before he died, he saw Jesus in glory. So you can celebrate that, even though it's a terrible injustice. But when it comes to these children, these infants of Bethlehem, they can't make a choice. They can't even talk. And they're ruthlessly slaughtered. Like, you know, what's the celebration here? Again, we have to do a bit of pondering to get to the root of this, because on its face, this is just one more of an endless stream of senseless tragedies. In Bethlehem, of all places. I mean, we don't know how long it is between the birth of Jesus and the slaughter, maybe a few weeks or a few months. It has to be at least more than 40 days, because on the 40th day, Jesus was taken to Jerusalem. It wasn't in Egypt yet, in other words. And when this slaughter took place, Jesus was already being taken into Egypt by Joseph and Mary. So, wow, we have to just think of this Bethlehem. Bethlehem, I sometimes think about the shepherds themselves. Maybe some of these children were children of those shepherds, or at least relatives. So the very ones who had the first announcement of great joy, within a few weeks, have an announcement of just terrible grief, death of babies, right in Bethlehem. Now, Bethlehem nowadays, as we know, is in the Palestinian territory. It's in the West Bank. The idea of fleeing from the West Bank to Egypt makes us think about the people in Gaza who are trying to get out, and they can't. Gaza borders Egypt, and they can't get out because the border is shut down. And now Joseph and the Holy Family, they made a long trip from the West Bank to Egypt, but the people in Gaza they can't get out, and it's a short straight over the border. We're told that the city of Bethlehem did not celebrate Christmas in its usual way. It was a very muted, somber observance of Christmas because of the war going on there. And this is it. How do we celebrate, or what right do we have to rejoice when people are being killed, that innocent children are being killed? It's one thing to, lament the wars between soldiers, but it's different when you talk about children, because they have no choice. They're by definition innocent. They're not combatants. They're bystanders. They can't get away. They can't do anything about it. They're just victims. Well, Pope Francis, in his Christmas blessing, Urbi et Orbi, to the city and to the world. The Urbi et Orbi is a blessing he gives every Easter and every Christmas. And every Easter and every Christmas, the popes do this. They announce the reason for celebration. They proclaim the good news. And then they also look directly into the face of bad news. I notice this every year. And Pope Francis did it again this year. He said, here we are celebrating Christmas. We have received good news of great joy, but the very land where Jesus was born is being devastated by a war, a violence, deadly violence. Thousands of people, including hundreds and hundreds of innocent children, both victims of the Hamas militants on October 7th. Many of those victims were children. There was 1,400 or 1,500 people. And just not soldiers, not enemies, just people that they could find and kill. It was just what would seem to us like random, senseless violence. Children, families, senior citizens, everybody. And then now the retaliation of the Israelis to try to wipe out the Hamas militants. Lots of thousands of children and other innocent victims. Well, anyway, the Pope mentioned this, of course. Said, how can you celebrate what's going on in Bethlehem, or how can you celebrate what happened in Bethlehem when what's going on now seems to contradict it? And then he mentioned a whole bunch of other places. I had seen this in a headline and I looked it up. Of course, Ukraine also, where children, not only children killed, but many, many children, hundreds of children were taken from their homes in Ukraine and brought into Russia, or kidnapped, basically. Syria, Yemen, Lebanon, Armenia and Azerbaijan, Sudan, South Sudan, Cameroon, Democratic Republic of Congo, Korean Peninsula. He goes into this list and he mentions what's wrong in these places. And these are all places where violent injustice is happening to children right now. And there's others that he didn't mention. You probably saw in the news that in Nigeria, 150 people were killed on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Militants attacked Christian churches because they knew Christians would be gathered on those days and killed them. Well, we don't need reminders of this. Do we need a feast day to remind us that innocent people die? No, it's in the news every single day. Children are killed every day. You know the scourge of abortion. This is a day to recall that abortion is a slaughter of innocent children, not at the hands of soldiers of the king, but their own mothers and their own mother's relatives, usually, or mother's boyfriends. In the clean, beautiful medical facilities, slaughter of the innocents. And then there's the death of children by poverty and refugees, and terrorism, human trafficking. Okay. What are we celebrating here? Well, in the case of the innocents, they didn't immediately go to heaven like St. Stephen did, because heaven was not yet open. Not heaven in the way we understand it. I mean, the glory of God was not available yet, because Jesus had not died and risen. In fact, Jesus was just born himself. So what it looks like to us is Jesus gets away, sure. But the children of Bethlehem, they die. I'm sure you've seen plenty of these movies where the key actors, you know, when the building blows up, the actors are just out of the range of the explosion. Maybe they get knocked down, but they run away, and everybody who's in the building, they all die, and the audience is left saying, oh, lucky for them, lucky they weren't in the building anymore, or they weren't on that ship, or whatever, the gunfire just happened to miss the heroes. Well, Jesus gets away and everybody else dies. Well, that's not very satisfying. I mean, it's great that Jesus got away, but it would be terrible to think that God only cares about Jesus and doesn't care about the rest of the people. That's bad theology. So we have to ponder further. We have to go further than what happened on that terrible day of the slaughter of the innocents. And we have to go further than the terrible slaughter that we experience in our own times. How can we go further? Well, we go to Jesus. Jesus, who was rescued that day, was rescued in order to be a victim 33 years later. Jesus came into the world not to escape death, but to take on death. He in this moment was saved, but he saved those children. He didn't save them from dying, just like he didn't save St. Stephen from being stoned, but he did save them for eternal life. And that's why this feast day looks beyond the moment of the slaughter and the lamentation, the loud wailing of Rachel weeping for her children, and every mother weeping for a child who's been killed by injustice and violence. It looks beyond that and looks to the victory of Jesus over sin and death and every injustice. If we can't do that, that means we don't really understand Christianity. Christianity, if it's worth anything, has to be able to come face to face with the worst possible evils and come out victorious. Otherwise, what good is it? We're still living in a world where evil is in charge and evil is victorious. No, evil is not victorious. Herod is not victorious. The terrorists are not victorious, only for a time. So Jesus, he flees into Egypt, but he comes back. He comes back to Nazareth, and then he doesn't hide out in Nazareth. Well, 30 years he does, but then he goes to Jerusalem. He goes to Jerusalem to lay down his life. That's at the very heart of this story. Otherwise, it wouldn't make any sense to celebrate it. So what are we celebrating? We're celebrating that victory of Jesus Christ, which applies to everybody of every time, even those who died before him. It applies to these innocent babies and every innocent baby, whether they're killed thousands of years ago or whether they're aborted today or 5,000 years from now. That sacrifice of Jesus Christ is the antidote to all these just mind-boggling evil acts. And if we don't have that antidote, well then we have no right to celebrate. Then we live in mourning and despair because we can't overcome evil. Christians still celebrate Christmas. Now maybe you can't go to Bethlehem, and maybe the Christians in Bethlehem have to play it low key, and that's not wrong. But it would be wrong for them and wrong for us if we canceled Christmas because of the evil in the world. That would be wrong. We should still rejoice. We can do it in a muted way. We can sacrifice some of our celebrations for the sake of victims, but we should not cancel out Christmas because this is the good news. The good news that more than overcomes all the bad news. This is a joyful feast. We're not joyful because babies get killed. That would be crazy. We're joyful because even babies who get killed can rejoice in heaven, and we can rejoice with them. These children are not grieving right now. These children are not lamenting that they were killed before they even learned how to speak. They're enjoying themselves fully in God. I don't know what babies do in heaven, but whatever they do, their happiness is complete. Their happiness is full. And we'll be happy to join them, God willing, when we get there. So that's a little reflection on this feast day. It takes work to ponder this, but it's worth the effort, because otherwise we're stuck with the daily headlines of injustice and murders and slaughters and no answer to it. A lot of people say, "Well, I don't like thinking about those things." Well, no one wants to think about it, but we don't do ourselves any favor avoiding it completely. The church doesn't avoid facing evil. Look at that's why I say Pope Francis on Christmas Day lists a bunch of war-torn areas of the world. Why bring up all those things? Because this is the whole point. Okay, you get the point. If you want to read the address of Pope Francis, you can do that, or the address of any one of the popes. I know Pope John Paul did this all the time. Pope Benedict did it. They're always doing this, always bringing up terrible evils and then applying the gospel to them. So that's what we're to do as well. That way we can rejoice with the martyrs.